So we're reading a book, right? And the book's name is Basics, right? Basics, kind of like just what's basics?
Latte.
What?
A latte.
A latte. Very basic at Starbucks is a latte. It's just black coffee. Too strong.
It's steamed milk with just two shots of espresso.
I don't like espresso. Too strong for me.
Hey, caramel coffee is good.
So, when I think of like basics, and one of the basic things is, who here loves to read?
Depends on the book.
Yeah.
Depends on the book. So I didn't see a show of hands though. Just say, average, typically.
I love to read it, it's what I like to read. That's literally what I just said.
That's literally your arm is broken. Literally.
Oh, I broke my arm.
You know,
I
have always wished I could learn to love to read. But here we are. I like reading more than when I did when I was your age. Let's just put it this way.
You didn't like reading?
No, I did not like reading. I love books. I love what's the information in books. I love what's going on the books.
But you don't like putting work in.
Basically. I was not, and I'm still not, a very good reader. My pronunciation.
That's why you read with your mind, not out loud.
You can fake that. but I feel like in basics, I can't see people. In basics, just like so many things in life, in order to get well or get good, get better at something, you have to keep trying. Right? It's kind of like practice, if you will, or a good habit is reading, right? Excuse me. Now, there's a catch-22. There's a catch-22 with all this, is that if you're not good at something, and interact if I say something wrong, but if you're not good at something, typically, you're not going to have a desire to do that thing, right? Okay, now if you don't work at them, if you don't work through it, are you going to get better at it?
Did you put a don't before that sentence?
I said if you don't work through it,
are you going to
typically get better at it?
No,
you're on pretty much stay the same, right? Typically, if you're not putting your effort in, you're not working at it, typically you'll stay the same or you'll even get worse. Now, I'd love to, and I want to encourage all of you guys not to give up on those things in life that are good for you. Not those good habits. And reading can be one of those good habits, as long as the material is good and clean, right? And it's encouraging and it's worth reading. That is something in life that is really good. It works your brain, and you know, if you don't use it, you lose it, type of thing. So you should read. So with all that said, we're in lesson 1, part 2. Did anybody read ahead?
Normally I do. And you had an issue with doing that a long time ago, but
you didn't.
I'm sorry.
No. I get you. Like I said, I've been there. Now the title of this chapter, if you will, is The Plan. Redemption. So there's that word, redemption. What does that mean to you guys? Or does anybody know what that means? Redemption. Whatever comes on. Redeeming. To redeem. Yes, that is exactly what it means, is to redeem. So what is redeem? What does redeem mean? To get back, you say, or give back, or get back.
Just to like kind of get back to where you started, like it basically clears the slate in a way.
Yeah. Now there are several definitions for this word. Anybody else?
What was that word? You went word.
Word. Oh. Word. It's the inside joke. No, just kidding. It's not an inside joke. It's. So, does anybody else have a definition? No.
Maybe like a comeback?
Comeback? Yeah. Come back from a mistake. That's good. That is exactly right. Anybody else? Like I said, there's many definitions.
Making things right.
Making things right. Like a redeeming quality or character. You can make things right. That was me. It wasn't a phone, though. It was my tablet. Okay. All right. So, anybody else? TJ? You already said what? I guess I didn't hear that one. You already said what?
To get back something.
That's what that's right. You did say that. Nobody else. All right. So I'm going to read what the dictionary would say. To recover ownership by paying a specific sum. Now, everybody's heard of a pawnbroker, right? A pawnbroker? Pawn shop. So what happens in a pawn shop?
You bring in your trash and they buy it from you.
But when you do that, if you want that, if that is something valuable to you, but for some reason you really need the money, cash, you have a set amount of time you could go and pay for it and get it back. It's kind of like a loan. So there's a pawnbroker, is you kind of, they buy it from you, but it's on collateral for a set amount of time. And then if that time expires or you don't buy it back, then they could sell it. Now, to pay off, like a promissory note. So basically like an IOU. You know, so. So if for some reason you loan money, you're giving it back. To turn it in or receive something in exchange. So if you have something, you're exchanging it. To fulfill, like a pledge. Like if you had a pledge and you're fulfilling that pledge. To set free from slavery or kidnapping by providing money or other compensations. To save a person from a state of sinfulness and its consequences. To restore honor and worth. To atone from a mistake. Now, these are all definitions of redemption. Now, God has a plan for each and every one of those definitions. The reason I did that is because I really thought those definitions, they all fit. They all fit in God's plan. You know, and God has a plan for each and every one of you guys. You know, and it may not go the way we think it should. Now, it may not go the way we think it should, But it will have, or he does have a plan in the way when this happens, we need to know some truths. And to know some truths, I always refer back to the Bible. You know, the books are awesome as long as it follows the Bible, right? So, and this book does. But let's turn to Romans. And this is in that chapter, Romans chapter 8. Huh? Just 28, actually. Romans 8, 28. See, you kind of read ahead, or are you just read ahead? Romans 8, verse 28. Haley, would you like to read that?
You know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. He appointed them to be in keeping with his purpose. God planned that those who he had chosen would become like his son. In that way, Christ will be the first and most honored among many brothers. And those God had planned for. He has also appointed to be saved. Those he had appointed, he has made right with himself. To those he has made right with himself, he has given his glory.
So when Paul wrote this, you know, it says, God causes all things to work together for good, right? He did not say God only lets good things happen. He didn't say that, right? He said that all things work together for good. But whether it is a bright, sunny day, or it's a cloud-covered rainy day.
It's all the seasons in one morning.
In one day. Yeah, it got bright, right? It was raining. It started snow. It's crazy. I wanted to clear up or not. But God works both. The rain, the snow, the sun, and the shine, the wind, all up for good, right? I mean, you could even just look at nature, right? What God made is the plants. What do they need? They need water and sun, right? So they need both of that. They need that to grow. We're going to look at a gentleman what is in the Bible, not was. He was in the Bible, or Bible days, but he is in the Bible. We all know about Joseph, right? Son of Jacob. Joseph, he had a very brightly colored
bandana.
Yeah, that's it. Bandana. But he had a coat to match that bandana. Yeah, a little beanie.
He had a bowl hat as well.
A what?
A bowler hat.
I don't know about that. It wasn't in the Bible.
Is that a
bowler hat? A bowler hat?
Bowler hat.
So we all know what Joseph might have went through, right? Or had some clues, maybe.
Yes.
Is. So was it a good or bad thing that Joseph's brothers hated him?
It was a bad thing. I don't know.
It was a bad thing, right?
Was it
a bad thing when they threw him in a pit?
But he had a coat.
But he had a coat to keep him warm. What about when they sold him into slavery?
Are you telling me that coach is no longer here?
Well, I would think that they probably used that coat to have the wild animals rip it up to give to his father to prove that, oh, look, your son is dead. They staged his death. Or they staged the coat's death. They possibly did this. Right. Just wondering. So it was a bad thing that he was taken to Egypt as a slave, wouldn't you say? It was a bad thing that after working hard to have a position of authority, he was thrown in prison for a crime he did not commit. Right? We all remember that. You know, one bad thing after another, right, in Joseph's life. Wouldn't you say? Why didn't Joseph just quit? I mean, he had a lot of bad things happening, right? He trusted God, yes. He trusted God, and he, God gave him a dream, if we remember the story. It wasn't a speech, it was a dream.
What?
It was a dream, it was a prophecy, right? Does anybody remember what that prophecy was? That dream was? Then there was like some haystacks. Right. And those haystacks represented whom?
The brothers.
The brothers bowing down. That's one of the reasons, well, there's probably a couple reasons, but that was one of the reasons the brother really got mad at him, right? All right, we're led to believe. You know, we weren't there, but. Yeah. So, but he did trust God. You know, he trusted God and he remained faithful and kept in trusting in God. And God used all those bad things, didn't he? We know what happens at the end of the story, right? He used all those bad things. He fulfilled that prophecy, he fulfilled that dream, and he got Joseph into a better position, didn't he? Got into a position where he could save his family. You know, his old family, his brothers. Right? His brothers, his whole nation. He was in a position to save his whole nation. God's plans work out in the wash. Sometimes we have to go through a ringer. But in the end, we are better off. Now, whom is part of that plan? Well, it says it in that verse, in verse 28. We're being specific. Right? For those who love God. Right? And also to those who right. Those who are called to his purpose. So those who love God are whom? Christians, the ones who believe in him, right? Because, well, they should. They better are they're not Christians is one of those oxymoron, right, things. You can't do that if you are. But those who are called. So whom is called?
You were right.
I wanted to go around the block a couple times and then swing back around.
Wow.
Why? I don't know. Just to prove you wrong. John. Okay, there's. So how do we know that everybody's called? How do you know that? Logic? How do you know that? Who told you that, and how do you prove that? Your parents. Where'd they get it from? Their parents? I could keep on asking, so eventually we're going to have to get down to the Bible. Does anybody maybe could think of a specific... God. Right. You're right. It's in the Bible, and it is from God. You're right there. Does anybody can think of maybe a specific verse? A specific verse. Maybe a verse what's very popular. Maybe... What? Wait, what? Does that prove that everybody's called? Yes. Well, let's go ahead and read it anyways and see if we're right. John 3:16, and let's go ahead and read 17 also, just for kicks and giggles. Nicholas. John 3:16 and 17.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
So, God has given everybody, if you will, an invitation, right? He's called everybody to that invitation. He's not left anyone out. Said the whole world, right? He wants, Person. Every person. He didn't leave anybody out, right? And God also tells us his plan right there. His ultimate plan, he tells us in those verses on how he's going to save everybody. Through his Son, exactly. So through Jesus, he's going to save everybody. So in Romans 8, 29 through, I think somebody had this already.
I've read 28 through 30.
I know. I just thought you're doing so good. But let's just go 29 through 30. You have the mic. Just for fun. So, is the mic not on? God foreknew, right? God foreknew. What does that mean to foreknow? To know, right?
Before.
To know before. Exactly right, right? You're like siblings or something. She got one part, you got another part. Before any trouble in the garden happened, God knew. God knew what was going to happen. He already had a plan set forth. You know, God predestined is predestined. God gives us a destiny. He's given us a destiny. You know, before we were born, we've had a destiny to be with God. God called, and we already went through this, but he gives a free invitation, right? He gives a free invitation. And he also gives us a choice. God justifies. You know, God declares us righteous, not based on anything that we do, because it's nothing on what we do, but it's on the righteousness of Jesus, which we received by faith. You know, we can never be righteous enough in our own power. But if we have Jesus as our advocate, as somebody who would fight for us, as somebody who would stand up for us, someone who would vouch for us, somebody who loves us, somebody who redeems us. We should go through that definition of that, huh? Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice in order to redeem us.
What is the ultimate sacrifice?
To lay down your life for your brother, right? For somebody else. Because you're giving everything. Do I do good? Get a piece of candy? A little lollipop? So, just like our definitions, he paid a price that we could not afford, that we couldn't afford. God glorifies. We were made to do good works and worship God. That's how we were made. Now, we stray from time to time, and some people stray really far, but we were made to do good works. Those who are justified will be glorified. God has a plan for our redemption. Right? In Jeremiah, so it's towards the left hand of the Bible if you're still in Romans. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 through 14. There you are. Huh?
Said, why don't we do that?
What? Guess? Huh? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14. With the four on the end, but a one in the beginning of it, right? Jeremiah 29:11-14. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14.
You get tired of it.
2:9:11-14.
Yeah,
whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready, madame.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive.
I just liked how that verse went. That wasn't in this chapter of your book, which you all should be reading, right? Taking home and read. Along with, don't neglect reading in the Bible. But so everything we went over is just a real quick summary of this chapter in this book. So I'm still trying to work out how we should go about going over these chapters, but anybody have any questions, thoughts, inquiries? like questions? Any... No, nothing. Yeah, I would almost suggest maybe reading the chapter before that Wednesday, maybe, if you can. Just be at Starbucks, read your book. There you go. So next Wednesday, we should be in lesson 1-3. If all goes white, right? I think that's still on the schedule. So, but definitely go back through and read this lesson if you can. It's really good. It's, you know, the basics, simple things, but things we should know, right? And it's always good to repeat, right? There's things in the Bible that gets repeated, and it's good to keep those in the forefront of our brain. So let's close in prayer. TJ?